Welcome to a minimalistic, highly questionable. Plenty of room here for more and more Bomani Jones. Check him out, The Right Time with Bomani Jones, for all your podcast needs. Let's get started.
I hate that I naturally smiled at the idea of more and more me. I was like, hell yeah. That sounds like what's up.
I love the idea that you think they're not going to air all of that.
Oh, man. I was like, yeah, that's right. There you go.
Did Lamar Jackson convince you that the Ravens are back?
Oh, wow. The Cowboys are going to skate on this one, huh? As a team that for 30 years has been pretty damn irrelevant, and yet all their guys, all their white guys, get the great broadcasting jobs. Romo and Aikman and Daryl Johnson and Jason Witten. But we're going to talk about the Baltimore Ravens. And I think any analysis of how well anyone is measured in that sport has to be run through the filter of how much was it affected by the coronavirus. Anything we're doing with the Patriots, that team lost a bunch of players. And the Baltimore Ravens, whatever you're doing with the assessment of Lamar Jackson, has to be run through the prism of he's not playing with the same guys he was playing with last year. That team has been hit especially hard by some of this nonsense. So he was good last night. They were good last night. That's a good football team that's also less good than it should be because the virus has gotten that team good.
Yeah, and there are two ways to look at it, though, with Lamar and his performance last night. On one hand, the Ravens ran for about 878 yards, and you can't ignore Lamar Jackson's role in this. I think that's easy to do when you go isolate the passing numbers. The thing to me, though, is not about the passing numbers, but the fact that there was some kind of woeful inaccuracy at points. Now, one thing that we're going to have to check with him is, how does he look at detail type stuff after the coronavirus? Because to my untrained eye, when I've seen guys like Cam Newton and Ezekiel Elliott, guys that we know that have tested positive, is detail stuff, right? It's Elliott fumbling the ball. It's Cam. We've seen him with the accuracy issues also, but we don't know what the deal is with him because he's also got a bad foot. So are the Ravens back? You ain't going to do that against the Cowboys, man. Them dudes look like they put a stamp on the whole damn season last night. And when you watch Andy Dalton play, bless his heart, I can't blame him. Like, we didn't think that he was cooked when he left Cincinnati. We just thought it was time to go. He looks cooked. They look cooked. I can't understand how the coach is going to be back next year. And I can't say that you back because you beat that.
Bomani, their wide receivers are good. Their skill guys are good. Andy Dalton is totally fried as a quarterback. And Andy Dalton represents the greatest height of mediocrity rewarded over a decade as a franchise tried to decide, is this guy a starter or is he not a starter? And we've seen with the evolution of quarterbacks that right now, almost everyone is better than what Andy Dalton was, even when he had A.J. Green at the height of his powers.
Can we look at Leighton Vander Esch run away from Lamar Jackson instead of running toward him? Like, in a different situation, you might think that that dude was on the take. Like, it looked like when you just want to hurry up in Madden and let the team score and you take all your players and you run them away from the ball. That is what their defense looks like. I can't even put that on Andy Dalton. Leighton Vander Esch is looking like, man, I heard Dez Bryant can't play. I want to go in the locker room and check on him.
Is it fair for the Big Ten to change its conference championship rules for Ohio State?
We talk about college sports where they don't pay people to do hard work, and we're going to ask about whether or not this is fair. Now, season started. Big Ten got in on it late because they had too much good sense to play football at first, and then they felt too much pressure to not play football. And so they did put in a rule because there wasn't going to be an allowance for bye weeks in their conference schedule. Put in a rule that said to make the conference championship game, you had to play at least six games. They wanted to give an air of legitimacy to the whole process. And then it looked like Ohio State wasn't going to be able to play six games, and legitimacy went out of the window. No, it is not fair that they are going to do this. It is not a proper sample to really determine whether or not they're one of the best teams in the Big Ten, except for the fact that we all know that they're the best team in the Big Ten, and we absolutely know that they're the most money-making team in the Big Ten and the most prestigious team in the Big Ten. And so the Big Ten's going to do whatever is possible to get them into the college football playoff. It ain't fair, but it's happening.
I find it pretty amusing that we are in a position where we are basically going to put Ohio State, no matter how it is that we do this, in the Final Four because we simply thought before the season started that they should be in the Final Four because all of us know, without any games played, that they're probably one of the best teams in the country. What I find more interesting is that no one else in that conference who coaches a team actually knew how bad their teams were because Jim Harbaugh was in a big hurry to get a little closer to get fired. Scott Frost, big hurry to get football out there a little close to being fired. You've got all over that sport. You've got guys like James Franklin saying, I really need to get out here so that I could test myself against Ohio State. And now he's got that mess at Penn State. We basically don't even have to play these games. This is such a made-for-television sham. All of it, getting this money, no matter how you get it, through the Heisman Trophy or through playing these games, it's all just about how do we get to the final finish line where the money is. And it doesn't matter whether Ohio State plays a single game. We're going to put them in the Final Four because we can get that bank.
You know, and they don't even make that much more money if Ohio State winds up going. They just want to be in it.
James Harden said that he's willing to be traded to any contender. What should the Rockets do with him now?
I will let Bomani handle the interesting trade permutations of James Harden because you got an MVP candidate available, and it would appear that not that many people are interested in an MVP candidate. The two things about this story that I'm interested in, Bomani, are one, the idea that we're not asking hard questions about Fertitta, who's in the gambling business, who just went public, is cash poor, and is in some trouble financially because people are leaking. I'm interested in that portion of the story, and I'm also interested in, after a decade of player empowerment started at this network by LeBron James with a television show to announce his free agency, the player empowerment has now over the last decade distorted everything. So you've got a 3-year contract with a potbelly forcing his way out of Houston because he can, even though that's a 3-year contract. That is what LeBron James's power birthed, a player here at the end of this decade who's able to hold a franchise hostage as long as he's willing to take the character hit and the reputation hit of making an unholy mess on his way out the door.
Yeah, now, as for the trade, the problem is, why exactly would a team want James Harden? Because in order to get James Harden, you got to have a package in order to get him and to really make it worth the time, at least a star player to lead you to believe that you have a chance at winning a championship. I don't know how many teams there are that have the haul and would still have a star player that would be a good fit with James Harden. So, like, should the Rockets do it? You can't get away with making one of these superstar trades anymore and getting back 60 cents on the dollar. The Paul George trade, for example, ruined that. The Anthony Davis trade ruined that. Teams have demonstrated that you can get a haul back for a superstar when back in the day, it used to be guaranteed that you lost the trade if you lost the superstar. The Rockets are not going to be in a position to just give him away because he winds up making too much noise. Now, this is what I think is interesting, Dan, in line with what it is that you're talking about. When James Harden said he wanted to be traded, we got reports that Tillman Fertitta's response was, how about 2 more years at $50 million a year? And this is a dude that borrowed 9 figures in 2020 at 13%. Those are credit card rates. And now he's talking about taking his company public. People need this money, but somehow James Harden, rather than going in and saying, look, you know you don't want to pay me all this money. Let's find a way to get me out of here and make your life easier. Instead, thinks that kicking and screaming is the way to go. Maybe that's player empowerment, but let me tell you one player that's never had to do that. LeBron James. It only works if other teams want you. And I don't think other teams want James Harden.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show.
There was a time that Manny Ramirez was in a neighborhood near my house, and he was asking for his family if he was asking his agent after signing, you know, $100 million contract, can I afford this house here? Oh, I got a story for you. Bo, I got a story for you. I just heard last week about Miguel Cabrera. This is a true story. In the World Series, where he goes opposite field on Roger Clemens, and Roger Clemens is getting all these ovations, and Roger Clemens brushed him back a couple of pitches before.
Highly Questionable is presented by Captain Morgan. There's more fun to be had. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question if this guy should be allowed to wear his Red Sox hat in public?
All right, so Mookie Betts was traded to the Dodgers. He wins the championship. Boston Red Sox fans have suffered another awful season. Let's see where this story takes us. This is an alleged fan wearing a Red Sox hat.
Whoa!
Yes.
Nice hat. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, man.
Who's your favorite player?
Oh, he doesn't know. Oh, Bomani, you can't wear that hat and not know who Manny Ramirez is. How does that happen?
Has it been that long, though? right? Is this a sign that we are getting old and we don't even realize it? Like, when's the last time Manny Ramirez played for the Boston Red Sox? Has it been 10 years? I feel like it might have been 10 years.
You're going to let him off the hook for not knowing one of the greatest players in the history of the franchise? You're going to let that young person, you're going to yell like Wilbon about the millennials and how they don't know anything.
Yeah, they don't. I'm just saying, like, if you haven't, like, why would he know who Manny Ramirez is at this point in time? And, of course, don't forget the other part. Why would Manny Ramirez be wherever the hell I am? That's sad, though. Like, I am very disappointed. Don't get me wrong. It's just making me realize we're not young.
I've got two good Manny Ramirez stories. First of all, after signing one of those big contracts, he had a giant rock in his ear that looked like a real diamond. He said he bought it for $40 at a mall. And then there was a time that Manny Ramirez was in a neighborhood near my house, and he was asking for his family if he was asking his agent after signing, you know, $100 million contract, can I afford this house here? And his agent told him, Manny, you can afford the whole neighborhood. You can buy the whole neighborhood. Oh, I got a story for you. Bo, I got a story for you. I just heard last week about Miguel Cabrera. This is a true story. In the World Series, where he goes opposite field on Roger Clemens, and Roger Clemens is getting all these ovations, and Roger Clemens brushed him back a couple of pitches before, and he goes to right field for a home run in a stadium no one can go to right field in. He did not know who Roger Clemens was. He didn't know. He was 20 years old and had no idea who he was hitting the home run off of.
He's just like, oh, no, some white man. I never heard of him.
That's it. Some white man that they kept applauding. I just assumed that's what they did for white men.
I love any story involving I didn't know who that was. Then you get to after the fact.
Well, I've told you the Luis Castillo one on that, right? Mm-mm. Luis Castillo. Well, you'll like this one specifically because Luis Castillo goes to play in St. Louis, and he was always like forgetting his glove, and he never knew what city they were flying to, and he is, you know, a base stealer, and so they told him that they wanted him to meet Lou Brock, and he did not know. He did not have any idea who Lou Brock was, but the next day. He was introduced to a Cardinals legend, and they say, Louie, you know who this is, right? And he's like, Lou Brock. It was Stan Musial.
Do you question if this would be a good shot?
All right, so Damian Lillard shoots from places on the court that have, in my lifetime, always until the last couple of years, been terrible shots. But they're not terrible shots for him. And now he's talking about expanding his range even beyond where you already have to guard him basically as soon as he gets over half court. What do we have here? Oh, so he's just going to start doing it from half court, Bo? Is that going to be a good Bo, is this going to be a good shot in our lifetime? A good game winner right there?
I think it is entirely possible, but I got a suggestion here, right? I understand that everybody loves the free-flowing basketball, and they wanted to emphasize shooting so that more of the fans could feel like they one day maybe could be NBA players in a way that watching people dunk does not make them feel. But if we are going to reach a point where dudes are able to make shots from that far away, we got to let them bring the hard foul back, man. Like, you realize there's a whole generation of basketball fans that grew up without the hard foul. If you're going to be shooting half quarters on me, you got to get ready to get dropped in the backcourt. What other chance do I have?
So let's hear from Lillard. Is he saying he's actually going to start using this in games?
You know, the team put out that social media post of you shooting from half court. The ease in which you were doing it. How feasible is that you will do that in a game?
Very. It's very possible. Yeah.
From half court?
Yeah.
And what kind of dialogue have you had with Terry Stotts about that?
I told him I'm going to do it.
I love the idea of Lillard being confused by the question, but like, what do you mean am I going to use that in a game? Of course I'm going to use that in a game. And the year after that, I'm going to start shooting for as soon as I get the ball on the inbound.
Well, I also love, I told him I'm going to do it. Like, the coach has no say-so in this. Half-court shots, they're now part of your offense. You might want to start drawing up some plays.
Melo's saying, yeah, count me in.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
I'm assuming he's a Major League Baseball player.
Yes.
I may or may not have heard of him before.
Okay, there it is. An interesting admission filled with shame by Melani Jones.
Yeah. I don't hear you coming with the answer.
I assume he's a Major League Baseball player, but I was preferring your shame to mine. Thank you. I'm the one who just asked before the segment for them to repeat his last name for me.
Highly Questionable is presented by Captain Morgan. There's more fun to be had. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. In the Dominican Republic and Venezuela, Winter League Baseball.
All right, this is not actually where you will find the big story from winter baseball. Tom Brenneman has reemerged to the start of the Puerto Rican baseball season, and it feels like something out of Kenny Powers and Brockmeyer. But let's check in first here with Victor Robles in the Dominican League. What's going on there?
Wow. Yes. Yes.
Let's see how much fun he had with that from another angle on the replay.
Here we go. Just look at it.
Yes. See, that's fine, though. No, Latin players don't have problems with that. You can do that in the Dominican League. Let's see what we have here. Let's go out to Venezuela. This is Ronald Acuna.
This is a league?
That can't be a league, can it? I mean, that is, I don't think that's a league. Wait a minute. Is that a league? That can't be a league. That is just a bat flip in a game. Is Ronald Acuna, he might be playing just pickup bat baseball out there. Are you intrigued, Bomani?
I am a little intrigued by this. And also, this is a Victor Robles character. I'm assuming he's a Major League Baseball player.
Yes.
I may or may not have heard of him before.
Okay, there it is. An interesting admission filled with shame by Melani Jones.
Yeah. I don't hear you coming with the answer.
I assume he's a Major League Baseball player, but I was preferring your shame to mine. Thank you. I'm the one who just asked before the segment for them to repeat his last name for me.
Tonight on ABC, Jimmy Kimmel Live.
All right, so Tony Romo evidently does quarterback impersonations. Let's see how good he is at them.
This is the best I got, though. I'm telling you, this is silly.
Okay.
I'll try.
We'll be the judge of that. Here we go.
He gets a snap.
Okay.
That's good.
Come on, now that's good.
Now Peyton Manning, you ready?
Okay, do Peyton, yeah. That is great.
All right, Brett Favre.
All right,
let's go back in time.
All right, you're on a roll.
Here we go.
Wow.
Those are all very good. Bomani, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. There's another Brett Favre impression he could have done. Running back the other way, because it's time to make a tackle.
We're done here. A reminder, The Right Time with Bomani Jones. It's something that you need more of in your life. And also, if you do not know, this was news from last week. My father and I gone from ESPN. Last show is January 4th. So if you still want more Poppy, more Dan, more of the radio show, you need to get into your devices and make sure you got Levitard and Friends Podcast Network. Get into it. Get into it now.
I wound up the subject of one of these once. I went to a Tommy Alter dinner. And I was sitting across from this very small red-haired woman. And she looked kind of familiar, but I don't really be paying attention. And then she leaves, and I look at somebody. I'm like, I'm supposed to know who that was, right? It was Anna Kendrick.